Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was it just a dream or was it a demonic encounter?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, why not share it with us? You can call it in at 855-853-4802. You could write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And you could become a premium subscriber. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts, try it for 3 days free there. Or you could go to patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Harper is here with me today. How are you, girl?
I am great. How are you, Carol?
I'm pretty good. Just that headline, was it a dream or was it a demonic encounter? I don't want to have a dream like that. I don't want to ever wake up.
I'm excited. I'm weirdly excited to see what the story is because, like, I know it'd be horrible to go through this, but these stories are always so interesting to me.
I just don't want to ever wake up in the morning and go, oh my God, was that a dream? Or was it an actual demonic encounter? I don't know. I think I would have to convince myself it was a dream. I'm like, it felt demonic, but let's just call it a dream.
Yeah, I would have to convince myself it was a dream too, just to stay sane.
Because it would be hard to live with yourself thinking you had a demonic encounter.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, when's it going to happen again? What was that all about? I don't think I'd be happy at all with that.
Back to our conversation in just a second. You ever go into like the wine store or the liquor store and you have no idea what to get when it comes to wine? It's like, well, that bottle is pretty, but is it good? Yeah, I get that a lot. That's why I love Naked Wines. You guys know I enjoy that. And sometimes we even have wine during the show. Do you know that you buy wine today and most of your money, it goes right to things like fancy packaging, big budget marketing campaigns, and tax? Yeah, it goes to a lot of things other than the wine. It's kind of crazy. It is what it is, though. Plus, even after all that, you don't even know if you like the wine until you've already bought it. That's where Naked Wines is different. Yeah, Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet so you get a box of the market's best quality wines however often you'd like for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. They cut a lot of that stuff out. Yeah, so you can save a bunch of money and get really good wines. How do they do it? Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing Vineyard to your door delivery at up to 60% off what you'd pay in the store. By cutting out the traditional retail middlemen costs and markups, winemakers can then pass those savings on to you without skimping on the quality. As a result, you get exclusive access to hundreds of top quality award-winning wines at a huge savings, making Naked Wines the perfect wine for any wine drinker. I absolutely love Naked Wines. I can't stop talking about it. Even sends them to my parents as well, and they are loving it too. Naked Wines has been around for 10 years, funds over 90 independent winemakers. I love that. With no commitments or membership fees, you can enjoy Naked Wines hassle-free. So head to nakedwines.com/ghost and click enter voucher in the top right when you get to the website and put in ghost for both the code and password, and get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 a bottle. That's nakedwines.com/ghost and use the code and password ghost and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/ghost, code and password ghost for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
So here is the story, and it says, I love your podcast. It's wonderful knowing everyone can share stories and be heard, so thank you for making my day easier. I work a lot, so this podcast definitely helps pass the time. I moved every year growing up as a child, and I have had multiple strange encounters in every place I've lived in, so I'll have lots of future stories to tell. I think I'll start with my dream story since it's the scariest and most impactful experience I've ever had. I was a teenager at the time living in my parents' house, and things weren't the best. Family troubles, financial issues, fighting, etc. So as a young teenager, I didn't want to be home often. I've had many strange encounters in this home at this point, so I was already on edge. One night, I go hang out with a few of my friends. It was a long night of drinking and having fun, and around 2 a.m., I decided it was time to go home and go to bed. Everyone was already asleep, so the house was dark and still. I used the bathroom, washed up a bit, and got right into bed. I remember laying on my back and drifting right off to sleep. I'm a side sleeper and always have been, but with how exhausted I was, it didn't matter. That detail of the story is important because I remember waking up in my room and seeing myself sleeping on my back. I was instantly fully aware that I was awake in a dream. Despite trying to wake up, I couldn't. I had lucid dreams a few times prior, so I was familiar with it. The next thing you know, I sat up straight in bed and opened my bedroom door. My house is set up to where if you leave my room and hook a right, there's the bathroom. I continued to watch myself walk into the bathroom and turn on the light. The shower curtain is draped over the toilet right next to the shower. At this point, I had jumped back into my body and reached slowly for the curtain. I knew someone or something was behind it. As soon as I started to pull back, I saw a demon. Oh, I don't like this next part. He was naked and sitting on my toilet. He was bald and his skin was burnt all over his body and was dirty and hunched over with his head hanging. In a split second, he had his hands wrapped around my body like a bear hug, but I couldn't physically feel him. His mouth was open, sucking my soul out of my body, which I saw as a white mist. I was completely paralyzed and could feel all the energy being drained from my body. It wasn't like anything I'd ever felt before, and I kept thinking, oh God, this is how I'm going to die, and I can't move, and I'm gonna die right now. In that instant, with what little strength I had left, I tried to hit the wall or move my feet to make noise. I literally fought for my life. I desperately tried to scream with no results. Finally, I could feel my toes start to wiggle ever so slightly, and slowly my foot came free and frantically started kicking the wall. My voice slowly started coming back, and I screamed out for my dad. As soon as he opened the bathroom door, I woke up covered in sweat and gasping for air. Even though this was a dream, it was a lucid dream. I was actually there, but I had no control. I couldn't get back to sleep that night and was so distraught by this that I contacted the only friend I could think of who wouldn't judge me and basically just wanted to share it with someone. After sharing my dream story with her, she was also disturbed and contacted a Christian friend she knew. She set up a time to discuss it with him to hear his thoughts and basically see what he thought about it all. At that time, I wasn't very religious and neither was my family, so this was very unfamiliar to me. I went to meet him the next day and was waiting for him in the sunroom, and the sun was shining in. It was warm and cozy, and I remember thinking, how nice. The door then opens, and I see the guy I'm supposed to be meeting with, and instantly the vibe in the room goes really south. It was heavy and uncomfortable, and the overall feeling was terrible. He was acting strange, so as we started our chat, I told him about my dream. As I was telling it, the light started to flicker, and you could feel the temperature drop. I actually got so uncomfortable, I had to stop. He then said I had a lucid dream last night, and God came to me and said, there will be a girl that will come to you tomorrow for help, and you need to help her. She's going through spiritual warfare, and don't turn your back on her. I actually got goosebumps as he was telling me. It was surreal. This was about 12 years ago, but I still kind of get freaked out when I have to go to the bathroom at night. Understatement. Kind of freaked out. Keep up
that would be horrifying.
And this is pretty much it. Keep up the good work. Hope to hear this on the podcast. Brittany. It's a really strange story because I have questions about it because at first it was like she was watching herself in the bathroom, and then it was like she woke up in the bathroom, like she got back in her body and she was in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Yeah, I screamed out for my dad. As soon as he opened the bathroom door, I woke up covered in sweat and gasping for air. So it's kind of like, was she sleepwalking? Was she astral projecting? Was there a demon? Was it a dream?
Did she wake up in the bathroom?
Yeah, it says, screamed out for my dad. As soon as he opened the bathroom door, I woke up covered in sweat and gasping for air.
It seems like she described it as if she was like already awake. So how could like she wake up?
So it's almost like she was sleepwalking then. I'm not totally sure. But then I'm also confused about going to this Christian friend. And I don't know how this person would have, you know, some good insight. Maybe just kind of to talk to somebody. But I think it's weird when she said, then the door opens, I see the guy I'm supposed to be meeting with, and instantly the vibe in the room goes south. It was heavy and uncomfortable, and the overall feeling was terrible. He was acting strange, and I don't totally get it. Was that a bad person, or was it kind of left over from the night before energy? But I do think you have to watch that sort of thing because, you know, is that person really qualified to be telling her that she's going through spiritual warfare after this single encounter with her?
Yeah. And the guy wasn't even there. Honestly, exactly. I'd say like go to a priest or like something.
It just doesn't, I don't know that I just would put a lot into what that person had to say. Now, obviously, I don't wish that kind of experience upon anybody. I think it would be horrific.
Oh, yeah, by far.
But I do think that you can really freak yourself out if you're thinking it's some demonic activity when maybe it was a really horrific, horrible dream. And yeah. I have had really horrific, horrible dreams. And some of them I actually do feel like they had a paranormal aspect to them. Or could it just be a dream? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't say that's demonic at all. Because I don't feel like I'm qualified to say that's demonic. I can definitely say it's creepy. And I'm telling you too, I'd have a hard time getting out of bed to go to the bathroom after that as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, by far.
I'd have a problem sleeping forever.
I would just move out. I would leave.
Well, she was a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
No place to go. Well, here is another story. Let's give it a listen.
Hey, my name is Pierre. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. I have a few to talk about, but the main one I want to talk about, or the main two, is once when I was around, like a lot of people, basically I was incarcerated. I saw a shadow person, but the shadow person wasn't like all shadow people. He wasn't like 6 feet or 7 feet or anything. He was about 5'9". But the thing that stuck out, no head or anything, just glowing red eyes. And some people say they can't move, but I was able to move, and I knocked on my bunk mate's bed, and I was like, "Georgie, you see that?" And I know he saw it, because he was like, "What the fuck?" And so, yeah, I was just trying to get insight on that. And also, once when I was younger, this is one of many stories I've been able to see stuff and feel stuff my whole life. But I also saw this other thing. I don't know if it was a shadow person or what, but it looked like smoke, black smoke rising out of the floor with some kind of cloak thing on. I wish I could tell you guys more about it, but I basically took off running as soon as I saw it. Like, it was around 3-ish. In the morning, and like I said, I took off running when I saw that. But in that particular house, I saw a lot of things. Also, one more to squeeze it in Savannah, I worked at this place called Kinnacle in the Hyatt, and the Hyatt is like a really old building. Also, Kinnacle is an old building. Kinnacle used to be a boarding school, and it was like a gust of wind or something. After I cleaned the aisle, just came and knocked everything over on the aisle. That was my last day working there. I quit that day. At the Hyatt, it was just creepy, strange stuff going on. But the thing that stuck out it was a picture of like some older people that worked there, probably from the 70s or 60s. I don't know. It was on the floor doing banquet, basically setting up for like a prom, putting the floor down. And so, boom, I picked it up. I went downstairs to take a break. I'm the only one that was allowed in banquet. I had the keys to the door. So I go down there, lock the door, go down there, take a break. I come back. The picture is on the floor again in the same spot. I always felt something in there. Like, I'm not trying to talk too long, so hopefully this can be featured on y'all's show. I listen to y'all almost every day. I've been listening to y'all for about 3 months now.
Well, I would say he definitely has had some creepy experiences.
Oh, yeah.
And that last one, too, it's like, I like the gust of wind came in and threw everything off of the shelves or whatever. And that was his last day at work. I'm like,
Maybe he quit because of it. I would.
I kind of had a feeling that that was connected to why he quit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when he mentioned being in prison, it's so crazy because there are so many haunted jails and prisons, you know, like the old ones that were built in like the 1800s or 1700s, 1900s.
Alcatraz.
Yeah. And, oh, Alcatraz is creepy. And, you know, you think about it. Here are people, men and women, who are incarcerated for whatever reason they're in there. They're kind of tied to that prison. The jailers are also emotionally tied to the prison. So, like, when they die, I could see why a jailer would go back, because they have to protect everybody. You know, it's what they do. And a lot of these people, like, there's some that I've talked to on the Grave Talks. There was one about a man who haunts the grounds. He got out of prison and ended up living on the prison grounds because he had been in prison for so long. They didn't have any place for him to go. So it was like in the 1930s or 40s, they just built him a little house and he lived right on the prison when he could have left. So I could see, like, he didn't have any other place to go. And if you, some people, maybe in that case, the guy had been in prison for so long, where else does he go? It just makes sense why somebody would be haunting the prison where they were incarcerated.
Yeah.
But I think that guy is obviously open to encounters because he's had several good ones.
Yeah, by far.
Let's see. I've got one more quick story if you want to do it. It says, my name is Amanda. I have a story that's not a ghost story, but a very strange story. I come from a small town, and when I was a teenager, I used to work at a well-known pizza place. Another coworker and I were working a day shift together, and I had my back to the front door labeling boxes. My coworker was getting ready for a delivery when all of a sudden I felt something hit my back. The instant that whatever hit my back made me have a real burning sensation in the spot where it hit. I looked down and it was a pen. Thinking that maybe it rolled off the counter and hit me, I just picked it up and went to put it back. I then realized there was a woman standing at the counter just staring at me. I was very shocked to see her because the door is a bell that dings every time you open it. I didn't hear the bell go off. Being a small town, I pretty much knew all of our customers, but I'd never seen her before. The lady had this very evil-like stare, and I asked her if she was there to pick something up. She nodded once, and I asked her last name, and she didn't respond, but just kept staring. I looked at my coworker and she just looked at me with big eyes like, what the hell is going on? I went over to the orders and read off a name to her and she nodded just once again. I took her money and thanked her, and the whole time she said nothing but still had that same stare. Then she walked backward, staring at me the whole time, and walked out the door. The door dinged when she walked out. I looked at my coworker and said, what just happened? I asked her if she heard the lady come in, and she said no, that she didn't hear the bell ding either. I told her about the pen hitting me and the burning sensation I got where it hit, and she was just as shocked as me. I told her I felt so weird after it hit me, like something heavy was put on me. There was no way that the pen could have rolled off and hit my back because the counter was too low. That lady or whatever it was, threw it at me. My coworker was very into church, and she told me that she wanted to pray for me, and so we prayed together, and after that, I felt like something had lifted off of me. It was the weirdest thing that ever happened. I love your show. Listen to it every day while I work. Thank you for what you do, Amanda. So do you think that was some kind of ghostly encounter, or was it a Karen?
I don't know. And I honestly, I wouldn't really say Karen. I would just say very strange customer.
Very strange customer. I guess because I've watched so many of those like Karen's Lives Matter pages on Instagram, and you see those women just being horrible and mean. Women and men. There's some men too. But it's so weird the way she interacted with her. But she did pay her. But then to turn around and walk backwards out the door staring at those poor girls the whole time.
I don't like that.
I don't like that at all. And like, maybe the lady couldn't talk. Maybe she can't speak. I don't know. But it is weird to get someone's attention by throwing a pen at them.
Yeah.
So it could have been just a very weird encounter with a weird person.
Mm-hmm. The burning sensation after the pen was thrown really kind of irks me, like, towards paranormal.
And, you know, maybe in the afterlife, you just need to go get a pizza sometimes.
Maybe.
And hopefully that was her pizza, because obviously no one else came to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm torn on that one. I don't know. Could it be paranormal? Yep. Could it be a weird person? Yep. Could go either way, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So share your real ghost stories with us if you have one. Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And then you could become a premium subscriber. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. You can try it for 3 days if you sign up on Apple Podcasts or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.